don't want to miss. What I want to address today, our theme surrounding communion, and we're going to start in a place where we're looking at a scripture which is a summary verse of our lectionary readings, and our lectionary readings have been a lot about food and a lot about the communion table, and in some respects the title of the sermon is about the celebration of the communion table, even though the title is sacramental smart food. But we're really going to celebrate what this table is all about. And what this table is about Jesus Christ. And you heard that in the gospel lesson. As a matter of fact, this gospel lesson from John 6 is something that we've heard really the last 3 weeks. It was an extended passage. It is an extended passage in John chapter 6, where some weeks ago Jesus said, I am the true bread from heaven. And today, I am the bread of life. And that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will live forever. And so this is the third time in a row we've had this heavy dose of this from the gospel lesson. And so I say all that to say that as we wind down our sermon today, I want you to pray because we have a gospel song that is all about that. We're going to try to sing that, and it's rather new to many of us here. We're going to, at the end, we'll be asking Sister Hannah to come up, and she'll kind of be leading us vocally, but it's not a special music. It's for all of us to sing. So be in prayer about that as we have the celebration of the communion table. And the communion table is not just about some micro little rite, R-I-T-E, that we do. It's about our life. It's about our Lord. It's about our Savior. It's about His covenant. So it's big. It affects how we will deal with the rest of the day today. It's about how we will deal with tomorrow and all of our tomorrows. Sacramental smart food. We're going to open in Psalm 111 and verse 5. I want to read this as a summarizing springboard verse for us here. He has given meat, Old King James. He has given food. He has given food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this verse which brings together so much of our gospel lesson, of our lectionary readings, of the life that we have come to know and enjoy here, all because of you. We pray that you would help us to celebrate it this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a celebration of the communion table. That's what we do here as we renew covenant, rather as God renews his covenant with us. We're talking about the communion table, all that it is, all that it represents, and all that is behind it. It's a celebration, therefore, of Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's a celebration of his covenant. Don't miss here in Psalm 111 the close connection, even the close proximity between wisdom, food, and his covenant. He has given food, there's the food part, unto those that fear him. We're going to talk about that because that's where wisdom comes in. And that's where you and I come in. So in this one verse, we have this idea of food and close connection and close proximity. Food is very close to those who are wise, those who fear him. We're going to see a little bit later where the scripture says that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Food and wisdom and God's covenant. A close connection, a close proximity between communion, even the communion table, and the covenant that God has made with us, which always and everywhere has food associated with us, with it. Don't miss that. And let us also remember that this gospel and this good news is for the saints. And again, I am highly indebted. I am so thankful for the private conversations that I have with many of you. And you give me good ideas. You remind me of where our focus needs to be. I appreciate that. And what I'm going to say right now is a part of that. I am indebted to a private conversation from someone here that the gospel that we preach is not only to be preached for those who have yet to come in. It's not only for those who are unbelievers as they enter a church, and we hope they will become believers by the time church is over. That's a part of it for sure. But the gospel itself, the cross of Jesus Christ, and certainly communion, is for us. It's for us who are already in covenant with him. It's not just for those who are outside of Christ who have yet to come in. It's for us, and for us, the reminder of the gospel, the reminder of the cross, the reminder of the communion table is a sustaining power for us. It is a sustaining nourishment for us. It's sustaining food for us. It's sustaining life for us, us as people. We who fear him. He has given food to those who fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as my memorial. The idea that God is remembering us. You know what? You ought to be blessed every week when you remember the fact that God today, here and now, is thinking on you. He's remembering you. He's giving you food. You have shown yourselves to be those who fear him. He's making you wise through this food. And he's thinking of you. All of these things are here. We have a lot of heavy lifting to do here. What I want to do is begin by dispelling some kind of wannabe sidetracks, little diversions where we don't want our mind to go. And I said to myself, should I even mention these? I just want to get them out of the way so we don't think about it, because we have heavy lifting to do. The first thing that what this is really not about here is that in our culture, when we think of smart, covenantal or sacramental smart food, when we think of smart, there's four things that I don't want us to be thinking about, because we're not doing that here. We're not talking about anything that's digital or computer. We've all heard about smart watches, right? We've all heard about smart cars and smart TV and smart this and that. We're not talking about that at all. Secondly, our own cultural view of smart has kind of taken on this connotation that, you know, if something is smart, it's kind of light and it's kind of clever, and it's almost like, wow, I got out of doing the really hard work here. I kind of slipped away. I've been clever enough to not get down and dirty with the real stuff of life that the poor guy over there is having to do. I don't mean that by smart at all. What do I mean by smart? If we look at the last verse in this psalm, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There you go, right there. This whole idea of fear is connected to wisdom. We're going to get wisdom. And what is wisdom? A good understanding. Have all they that do his commandments. It's not just some mental game that we play. And so being smart here is not this idea of a modern day kind of clever, oh, I got them to do the dirty work and I got all the glory for it. Not that at all. Not digital, not computer, not a modern-day smartness. Third, smart is not about the brand name. Perhaps you've heard about smart foods. I did some research, and smart foods actually began with a copyright back in 1985, and it was all about cheddar popcorn. They were sick and tired of popcorn kind of being cheap, and their tagline as they made cheddar popcorn is called smart food popcorn. Their claim to fame was they were sick and tired of it being kind of artificial and everything, and they said, our cheddar popcorn is, number one, it is made with real cheese, and number two, it doesn't glow in the dark. Smart food, right? And from that would be number four. The fourth thing we don't want to think about is all these labels that we see now, right? Everything has a smart label. It tells us how many calories. It tells you how many steps you can take if you eat this food. It talks to us about the nutritional value of things. Those are not the pursuit areas here for smart food, the smart food that we are talking about. By the way, if we look at Elijah, some weeks ago we talked about 1 Kings 19 and 8. And we talked about Elijah and about how God sustained him with food. And this is earthly food that God gave to Elijah. He arose and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. All right, God gave him calories. Those calories gave him energy. He was able to perform with that energy, with those calories for 40 days and for 40 nights. What we're talking about is going to be a food that doesn't have an expiration date in terms of the energy that it provides. It will last forever. You will live forever as we talk about the food that Jesus gives to us. We are talking about Christ. We're talking about His gospel. We're talking about His covenant. We're talking about that which makes us wise and has eternal power and eternal consequences. Whatever else John 6 is about, and it's about a lot of things, it is about a food that has lasting value. We look at verse 58 of John 6. You will see that really, really clearly. This is the bread which came down from heaven. It's not just simply calories. Not as your fathers did eat manna. And they're dead. He that eats of this bread shall live, not just for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only just for the period of time when you have this earthly body. You will live forever. That's the food we're talking about here. Helping us thematically are two scriptures that are connected to our lectionary in Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. Many of us know this psalm by heart. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, anytime you're dealing with the good things of God, food is not far away. Right? Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Food is always there. God is a giver of nutrition. He's a giver of energy. He's a giver of life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and 8. And then in verse 9, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord." Here's wisdom coming into the picture again. Food and wisdom. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him." The passage goes on in verses 10 through 12, and it talks about the fact that, you know what? Not everybody is as blessed as you guys because they don't have God in their life. And what happens to them? Young lions. I don't care how young. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care what sort of earthly resources you have. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You'll get wisdom here. More than that, you'll get life. And you'll love many days. And you will see good. All of these are connected. God gives us wisdom, and God makes a covenant with His people. In 1 Kings in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, there's this episode, and this is one of our alternate Old Testament readings, and it talks about Solomon. And you know the story that Solomon asked. He asked God, he says, "You know, I'm just a child. I don't know how to lead these people. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom." And God ends up granting Solomon wisdom. And Solomon gets more than wisdom. God adds all sorts of other blessings upon that in addition to the wisdom that God was given him. But if we look at the very next verse, as we come to verse 15, Solomon has this answer from God. This answer from God came in a dream. And then Samuel comes to Jerusalem and he stands before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offers up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he made a feast. Right here in this section of Scripture, we have Solomon being granted wisdom, we see food, and we see God's covenant are all right there. Wisdom, food, and a covenant. It sounds a lot like sacramental, smart food. There's a feast going on here. Now, even as we've talked about all of those scriptures, we've yet to come to our lectionary readings, the first of which was from Proverbs. In Proverbs 9, there's Lady Wisdom and there's Lady Folly. And so Proverbs is trying to teach particularly young people, but therefore all people, wisdom. And in Proverbs 9, if we look at the first couple of verses here, wisdom has built their house, She hewed out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has furnished a table. So here's this idea that if you want to be wise, you're going to listen to God, you're going to fear Him, and God's going to feed you. There's a table that is furnished here. In verses 5 and 6, there's more about food. Look at how it is described. Come, eat of my bread. There's an invitation to the table of Lady Wisdom in the Old Testament. Come and eat of my bread, drink of my wine, which I mingle. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Here's wisdom again. If we look at verse 10, we see it more specifically identified as wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we look at the next two verses, we will see that this is about, even in the Old Testament, a wisdom that comes from a covenantal relationship with God that lasts a long time. Not necessarily up to par of the New Testament, you'll live forever, but there's a longevity associated with this. There's a long-lasting component to this thing called wisdom. Now, by the way, there are 18 verses in Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. There are 18 verses here. And we've looked at the first 12 of them. And they're all about wisdom. And they're all about the food that comes from wisdom. Okay? It isn't until we get to verse 13 where we start talking about Lady Folly. And verse 13 says, a foolish woman. And it goes on for the next six verses. There's 18 verses. The first 12 of them are all about Lady Wisdom and the food and the flourishing feast that she gives. And the proverb ends up with only six verses about Lady Folly. And you know what I get out of that? At least two-thirds of what is done in the church is for the saints. And again, I go back to that conversation, that private conversation that I had. You know what? We're the ones who need the gospel. We need to be reminded of the cross. We need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. We need to be those who are nourished by this table. Yeah, do pagans need that? Do the people who are yet unbelievers need that? Of course they do. But two-thirds of this proverb is all about the saints. It's all about the people of God. It's given to them. And so a takeaway from that is that we are gathered here so that we will edify each other and that we will feed each other. I will feed you and you will feed me and we will edify each other. And so when we gather together, is it about the doors being open and we hope that, you know, 1,000 people will come in who don't know God? Yeah, there's a part of it that's about that. That's our mission in the world. But you know what? Our mission in the world is about us ministering to each other. It's about Mike. It's about Joe. Right? It's about Peter. About Norma. Maybe not Alan. It's about us. And caring for each other. So I'm glad for that. And you know, if we look at John 21 and 15 through 17 here, as Jesus is ministering to Peter there after the resurrection, we know the fuller story. Peter felt like poop, right? Jesus brings him back. But what is his commandment? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Be feeding my sheep. Taking care of each other. And it's feeding them. And again, so all the things that Jesus is talking about here really comes back to wisdom and covenant and food and feasting. And they cannot be separated. And so all of this, of course, brings us to our gospel lesson. But even before that, I want to show you a different feast. Because Jesus is someone who practices what he preached. He didn't get into John 6 and just talk about these high ideals that are disconnected from reality, disconnected from the feasts that were before him, and talk about some pie-in-the-sky thing as if he is this bread of life. But in John chapter 7, this is at not the feast of the Passover, but the feast of the tabernacles. And Jesus himself describes himself there that he becomes the feast. In the last day, the great day of that feast, if you read the context, it's the feast of tabernacles. Jesus stood and he cries, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." It was just prior to that feast where Jesus presents himself as the bread of life. And so when we come to the communion table, we're not just looking at the Passover 2.0. We are looking at all the feasts. And Jesus is the embodiment of all of the feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover for sure, but all of them. And so when Jesus presents himself as the bread of life in John 6, I want you to see that it is a sea of red. Does anybody have their Bible open? Does anybody have a red letter edition, by the way? It is a sea of red, okay? When we get to John 6, they're all red letters. And we could say, okay, wow, that's great. You know, a part of the communion is the blood of Christ and it's red. When I say it is a sea of red, I don't mean it's a red sea only in the sense that it is a place of our deliverance. I want us to see plainly and clearly that it's the words of Jesus. It is not what theologians say about him. What we're going to pursue going forward here is what Jesus said about himself. That's the importance of these things being in red letters. And this is what he says. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verse 54. "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Red letters, not what a theologian says about him, it's what Jesus himself says. You know, God has always furnished a table, and Jesus is here offering himself as that table. God has always furnished a table for his people. We could go all the way back to Exodus in chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in. They said to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Why? "So they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." God was always showing forth his covenant, the people who he would make wise, celebrating his relationship with them with a feast. And Jesus becomes that. Here in the New Testament, his table, his feast, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. There are other things going on in the background, but the import of this is the middle part. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And then it says this, "Therefore, keep the feast." Let's not do the sidetrack about the leavened bread, the unleavened bread. There's a whole theology behind that. Keep the feast. And Jesus himself is the bread of life. Jesus himself is the Passover. He also is the Feast of Tabernacle and all the other feasts that we see in the scriptures. But for us, we need to know that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the feast that God wants us to partake of. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, we read this. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" The New Testament is clear how it wants us to understand these things. God has provided us a meal. And through this meal, we have eternal life as we're trusting in Him. Through this meal, we have wisdom. And through this meal, He is renewing His covenant to us. At this table, we have sacramental food. At this table, we have sacramental food. And not only so, we have sacramental smart food. And I'm going to go back to that. For we are not only saved through the sacramental food that Jesus is, we are taught to live. We are taught to be wise through the sacramental food that Jesus is. And the table is not only about tomorrow. We're even going to sing a chorus that says, I'll raise him up on the last day. Yes, that's true. Yes, that is true. I'm going to say it again. Yes, that is true. But this table is not only about tomorrow. This table is about today. And the food that you need today. And it's about the wisdom that you need today that will sustain you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day until you get to that day that we would call the great last day or tomorrow. We are saved through the sacramental meal and we are taught to live through it. Not only about tomorrow, also about today. And again, this is for the saints. Ephesians 5:15-17. Where does this fit in? This is our New Testament lectionary reading. So then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This passage is picking up on this whole theme that's been throughout, right? Remember our opening verse there? He gives food unto those who fear him. It's about those who are wise. It's about you guys. And he wants us to continue to walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time. You know what? Because the days are evil. It's hard enough to get through today. It's going to be hard enough to get through tomorrow. You're going to need Jesus for that. Wherefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And by the way, there's a spiritual component to all of this. Verse 18 makes it very clear. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the last verse that I have for us here is a combo verse of 19 and 20. And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we're going to try that in a minute with a spiritual song that's right out of the scriptures. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then it says this. You know, the context is be wise, right? God is making a covenant with us at the table. And then it says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the root origin of the word to give thanks? You see give thanks there? In the Greek, the root of that whole command to give thanks is eucharistos. Eucharistos. For some of you familiar with the communion table and how it's called in certain other segments of Christendom is Eucharist. What Paul is saying here in Ephesians is sing, come to the table, be wise, and give thanks. God is a wonderful, wonderful provider. So give thanks and sing. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for again this rehearsal here of John 6 and the opportunity to again celebrate, Lord God, this communion table as the wonderful gift from you that it is. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Help us to give thanks. Help us to be wise, both for today and for tomorrow. And thank you for your covenant and your promise, O Lord God, that you will raise us up on the last day. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.